Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have the loveliest friend of all times with me, Miss Marie Rose.
Hello everybody.
The one and only. So tonight, our friends, we are breaking out the toolbox and arming you with an arsenal fit for a slayer, a conjurer, a healer, or just your typical day, whatever. What will we talk about? It is tarot and tea leaves and boards. Oh my.
All the tools to put in your toolbox.
All the tools. We're talking divination tools.
Yes. And I think it will take a lifetime to learn all of them.
To learn them all, to use them all, to get to expert level, which, you know, I don't even know if that's a thing. I really don't. I think you are always like advanced intermediate, but not expert, right? There's always something to learn. So,
well, unless you're an old crone who has done this your entire life, I think you can become an expert in one or two of these.
Yeah, but there's
but
so many.
Not all of them. I think you learn about each one, you pick one, and that's what you go with.
Exactly. So what in the holy hell is a divination tool, and what is divination? So divination usually involves the use of an object or objects to get answers to questions, to see events that are not typically perceptible. So it's the use of interpretive tools that can help the divine relay guidance through your inner spirit or higher self. So what we're talking about is your people, your team on the other side, your guides, your guardian angel, your loved ones, whoever it may be, to get messages to you to help with that. So it's a common practice among Wiccans and witches and pagans. And, you know, we've talked about that in the last few episodes, some of the different seasons that are practiced and what have you. So divination is one of those things, and it takes many forms. And while some of the craft will use several different techniques, most everyone has their own favorite method for seeking answers from the divine. Do you need a tool to communicate with spirit? No, absolutely not. You can use yourself. Now, when you use yourself, you got to trust yourself. That's really what it comes down to.
Right. Trusting your intuition.
Mm-hmm. You have to trust yourself and the information you're getting. So I've talked about that in past episodes where I, in the beginning, had a hard time trusting the information I was receiving from spirit, from someone's loved one that crossed over, whatever the case may be. Because I really wanted to get it right. And I had to constantly remind myself that I am not getting anything right. I am just relaying information. So if it's not being received, maybe I'm not explaining it the right way, or, you know, my symbols have changed. I mean, things like that happen. So I still struggle with that, you know, for sure. I am only human. But I do, you know, I don't often use a divination tool. The one that I use, my absolute favorite one, is the pendulum, which we will talk about shortly. But, you know, for the most part, I feel very comfortable just talking to my people. I mentioned a few episodes back that I have been in pretty constant communication with who I believe to be my guardian angel. And he is mega chatty, mega chatty. Like, I just want to eat a pizza with him. Like, let's just talk. Let's do this. So unlike some of my guides, he is talkative, where some of my guides are like, no, we'll show you a symbol or something, figure it out for yourself. Like, or we'll give you a little piece of this and you got to figure it out. Where he is like, listen, kid, it's like this. And I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that. Like, I'd rather have a full blown conversation. So not all of our divine people are that way. And sometimes it is hard to interpret the information that's coming across that we're supposed to be receiving. So, you know, using tools, it's not bad. It doesn't mean that you are less intuitive. It doesn't mean that you trust yourself any less.
No, but I think it's growing your arsenal.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely growing your arsenal. Yeah. You want to, I mean, you don't have to, but it is cool using these tools and getting to know them. And it's just like using a pen versus using a pencil. Like, the end result is the same. You just have a different avenue to get there.
Right.
One, you know, gets you there with lead, the other with ink, and then there's gel, and then there's, you know, like, and. So,
right. Just like, okay, so you read a book or listen to a podcast, you get the message either way.
Exactly. Exactly. So you know, some words to the wise. Anyone beginning this journey, trying out divination tools, make sure that you're very careful and you do so with respect to the spiritual world and the divine world. You know, like Marie said, the more you practice, I think you said this now or in another episode, I don't know. We talk about this stuff a lot, but the more you practice with each tool, the better you become, the more you understand it, and the better you are at interpreting the information that you're receiving. And, you know, before you do begin using a divination tool of any kind, it is good to understand that there are some methods of divination, and it's, you know, you want to be observant. Observation is about being open-minded and mindful at once, being able to notice signs and being willing to accept them. You want to stay open and observant of the world around you, you know, to allow the spiritual world to communicate with you and deliver clear messages and answers. So if you are seeking, you know, say you have a question for your people and you say, you know, I need a sign, like, I can go this way or that way, and, you know, show me a sign, and let it be a purple window. And, you know, and 10 minutes later, you see a purple window, but your purple window happens to have green polka dots on it as well. And you're like, no, that's not what I asked for. I asked for purple, purple window. So, you know, you need to be open to interpretation. Is it going to be a solid purple window every time? No, maybe not. But is it going to be like a purple glass or a purple frame, or... Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, you have to be open and trust yourself.
Right. So it's like going to another country and ordering a pizza. If you're accustomed to ordering a pizza here in the US, you get like a pepperoni and cheese, and you just go to another country and you're like, yeah, can I get a pizza? And they give you something with squid on it. That is normal for them, but not for you. So, you know, their interpretation of your request was you want squid on your pizza. So that's what I mean. Like, you need to be open, and, you know, along with that, you need to be specific. So don't hit your people with a laundry list of 1500 questions, or, you know, subsets of like the same question, but be very clear, be very to the point about what it is that you're trying to achieve. So symbolism. The human mind sees meaning in symbols and signs without even realizing it. So this is another thing that you need to be open to. And this is what I talk about when I'm doing readings. And, you know, so for me, it could be a telepathic communication. It could be I get like a little, what looks like a little movie clip. I see symbols. I see all kinds of things. So for me, you know, somebody might tell me their name is Rose by showing me a rose when I ask what their name is. Symbolism. They're showing me something or showing me a sign of something. Right. And
an image instead of a word.
Exactly. So, you know, it doesn't have to be that clear cut. You know, symbols come in all different shapes and sizes. So, again, you do want to be open to that, because it may not be a verbal message or an auditory message. It could be symbolic.
Yeah. So, and you get to understand all of that with practice.
Exactly. Exactly. Meditation and practice, and you'll get there. We're always working on it.
Oh yeah, there's so many things to learn. Yeah. So many things to learn.
So, you know, intuition is something you know immediately without having to think about it. It's the gut feeling. It's just that knowing. So sometimes it goes against the logical mind. I would say a lot of times it goes against right. your logical mind. But divination relies on these natural instincts to reveal what the meanings of these things are, like the meaning behind the wording, the meaning behind the symbol, the meaning behind the feeling, whatever it is. So bottom line, just trust yourself.
Yes.
And I've said before, and I'll say it again, and I really need to practice what I preach, because sometimes I get in my own way. But when you ask a question of your team and you're awaiting a response, go with what comes first. Don't second guess yourself. That can't be it. That we, you know, like I just said, it goes against the logical mind oftentimes. So really, you got to learn to trust yourself, because you are your own best friend. You really are.
Right. And when you're using these tools, the more you do it, the more you will trust yourself and mm-hmm. trust that first instinct.
It's true. It's true. So let's get down with some of the tools. So we're going to start with the pendulum, which is our favorite. And for
absolute
me,
absolute right? favorite.
So for me specifically, this is the first tool that I ever used was the pendulum. And I'm going to say, let's just first talk about the pendulum and what it is. So a pendulum draws upon the energy in the space to guide the seeker to an answer. So just like any tool, just like we were talking about, you have a question, you need an answer. So a pendulum is typically a crystal or a stone. It's attached to a chain of some sort. It could be, you know, the material of the chain doesn't matter, but it's typically attached to a chain. You need to identify what yes and no is for this specific tool. So ask it to show you yes, ask it to show you no. Yes may be that it swings front to back, or it could be side to side. No may be the opposite thing, front to back, side to side. So
it may be a circle.
Right. Yes to no, yes and no will not be the same direction. They're going to be very different patterns. So, you know, yes may be that it swings to the right in a, you know, a circle to the right, and no could be a circle to the left, or, you know,
it will show you.
Yes.
If you ask it, it will show you.
Yes. If you build it, they will come.
Right.
Yeah. So that is how a pendulum works. So the person that is holding the pendulum concentrates. You want to not go into a meditative state because that's not necessary, but you do want to block the other things out. You want to focus on what it is that you're seeking, the question that you need the answer to, and you ask of the pendulum out loud or in your mind, wherever, in your heart, and you allow the pendulum a moment to deliver that information back. So when I'll scratch that. When I learned to work with the pendulum, it was about building a relationship, like a relationship of trust. And that's more for us, not for the crystal that's been around for God knows how many years and already knows how to do its job. But it's like, you know, it's like conditioning people and training people, not the pet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. So when I learned to use the pendulum, it was very much about trusting the information that you got and asking yes or no questions. I was going somewhere and I just lost my train of thought. I don't know where I was going, guys. Dang it. So anyway, let's go back to, you know, you ask your question, the pendulum swings and you get your response. So, here's what I was going to say. I'm sorry. So we were taught, or I was taught early on when I started Reiki, that you want to build this relationship, if you will, with your pendulum. And you ask it these questions and it'll show you, you know, by way of its movement, if the answer is yes or no. And you want to start off with things that you know to be concretely true. So you could start off by saying, is my name so-and-so? So for me, I said, is my name Chantel? Am I however many years old when I started, you know, with Reiki? Do I have a dog named Huey? Do I have a dog named Hennessy? Do I, whatever it is that I knew was absolutely true. So that's how you start off, so that you can start building a level of comfort and you can start becoming comfortable with your pendulum, because you don't just want to jump in and be like, is one of the winning lottery numbers tonight going to be 27? Because you won't know if the answer you're getting is accurate. You want to start off with things that you know to be true. So one of the fears I had with my pendulum is, like everything else, especially at that time in my life, I was very concerned about using this because it reminded me a lot of a Ouija board. Not in that it was opening some kind of gateway, but in the fact that I was a little convinced that someone was moving it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, but in this case, it's your hand. You're holding it.
Yes, but it's like the planchette on a Ouija board where you put your fingertips on it and right. Spirit is supposed to be moving it around to give you the answers. Mm-hmm. So it was that kind of thing, like, that I was seeing in my head, where I'm like, somebody is like in my space moving this thing to give me these responses, and I don't care for that at all. So I was afraid of it. And I had a conversation with one of our friends that had also gone through several levels of Reiki. And he was asking how my meditations were going and, you know, just kind of checking in with me. And so I was talking about my meditations and my pendulum and how I was afraid of it. And I told him about this one specific meditation I did out in the sun and the pendulum. You know, afterwards, I was kind of checking in with my pendulum to verify some of the information I'd received. And the thing was like super swinging on the chain it's on. And so he said, well, how were you feeling in that moment? I said, I was feeling amazing. Like I had, I don't remember what the information was that I got. I do remember that it was so revealing and it was very, holy crap. Like things just kind of lined up and came together. And he's like, so you were feeling really good and you were in the sun and, you know, everything was just lining up. And I said, yeah, I felt great. And he's like, so can you see how it was your like energy,
your energy,
your bursting energy that was being reflected in your pendulum and its movement? I was like, holy, I was like, get out of here. So it was that conversation that made me completely comfortable and one with my pendulum.
Yeah, because it's, you're bound to that pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
You're bound to it.
Right. Like you're not even supposed to let other people touch your pendulum.
Yeah. 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 I don't let people touch my pendulum. Yeah.
It is that sacred, if you will. Like, I don't know that that's quite the word I want to use, but that's what, you know, that's, those are the very clear instructions we were given, is this is for you. Your energy needs to be attached to this. No one else's. So do not let other people play with your pendulum. So, yeah.
Yeah. So pendulums, a very powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
Great for a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, whatever pendulum you buy or is handed down to you or gifted to you,
mm-hmm.
you clear it out, you develop a relationship with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be, I mean, for me, it was the start of my journey
mm-hmm.
with spirit and Reiki and everything like that. Actually, it's how I met our teacher.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Yep. She had a pendulum class and I'm like, oh, what the heck? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And went to a mutual friend's house. They were basically having a pendulum party.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got a pendulum and we were taught how to use it. And I mean, I don't know how many years ago that was. That was like a couple of years before Reiki, because she mm-hmm. wasn't even teaching yet. But yes, the pendulum is a fantastic tool. Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. I had a friend who was trying to figure out her next steps in her life. She felt like she needed to move. And she was asking her pendulum a million different questions, a million different ways, and wasn't getting any answers. And finally I said, stop. You know, stop giving it all these yes, no. Let it speak to you. Bring a map out
mm-hmm.
and ask, you know, where on this map should I be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, start with an atlas if you want to, and narrow it down to a country and to a state and to a city. And she did.
Mm-hmm.
And it really pissed her off, because next time I saw her, it said that she's supposed to be living right here.
Yeah. I remember that.
She knew in her heart that she needed to live in a different country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fast forward a couple of years, the pendulum was spot
yep.
on.
Yes, it was.
She stayed right where she is.
Mm-hmm.
One job led to another, and she still lives here, but yet she now has a job to where she can travel and is totally happy.
Mm-hmm.
Pendulum was 100% correct.
Yep.
So take a pendulum class, like a very powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as for lottery numbers, if you're not meant to win the lottery, it's not going to give you lottery numbers. It's
right.
going to give you what you need to know at that moment that is good for your higher self.
Which is true. That's the same with any divination tool.
Yes.
That's the same with meditation. It's the same with calling on your team, your higher team, or however you want to word that. And you bring up a good point. You talked about, you know, her pulling out a map. And that's another thing that you guys can do, is not map specific, but you can, on a piece of paper, on a big board, whatever it is, write yes or no, or write other things. Not quite
write down the various answers.
Right.
to see which way it goes.
So we're not saying create a Ouija board. We're saying create a map that's specific to you. So have a yes, no on there. Have, you know, if you could have four different outcomes, write them all down, or, you know, four different options, whatever it is. And then you use your pendulum, let it hover over this board or piece of paper and let it go to the response. So if that makes you feel more comfortable, something that you can actually see and put more trust behind, then do that if that's what works for you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So the map was a genius idea because it goes along the lines with this. So I didn't take that pendulum class. I didn't know about that until sometime later when I think I did Reiki. And then Marie was talking about the piece of paper and the different things you can do with that. So, I mean, it's an incredible tool. My pendulum has never led me astray, ever, ever. And it even... So I'll tell you how tight my pendulum and I became. And if you guys remember, like, for a while, I was saying that I had lost my pendulum. I couldn't find it. I was so heartbroken because we had become so tight. Like, I took my pendulum with me to Houston the first time we went. And I didn't get to use it all the time because I was so slammed busy, but I would carry it with me. I did notice, I think before we even left for Houston, that so my pendulum is selenite, and it started developing this very teeny tiny crack. So pendulums are typically like a cone shape. And so mine was developing this crack, and it started to grow and grow. And it looked like it was going from the edge of the top towards the bottom of the cone. And I was growing incredibly concerned because I'm like, oh, you can't break. And so fast forward, I'm in Houston and my pendulum broke. This piece ended up breaking off. How it happened, I do not know, because I am uber careful with all of my crystals. And so the information I received is that now it had the freedom to fully engage with me. And I was like, what in the hell does that mean? So I will say that I thought I was very tight with my pendulum, but we became incredibly tight, where I was getting information that I hadn't asked for. I don't quite know how to word this, but I was getting information for things I hadn't asked for, things I wasn't seeking. And it was incredibly confusing. I wasn't even sure what to ask to follow up with the information I was getting, because it did not make any sense. Now, fast forward some time and things slowly start to fall into place. And I was like, what is happening? And then I start thinking back on the things that had been revealed to me as a result of hanging out with my pendulum. And I was like, get out of here. So I will say, I do not doubt my pendulum. Sometimes I will ask the same question like 17 different ways because I really want to be sure of the information I'm getting, but it has never failed me, ever, ever, ever. And, you know, the fact that I sometimes go back and ask the question different ways, that's my own insecurity. It has nothing to do with my divination tool. So trust your gut.
Yes.
Trust the information you get. So pendulum, I love it. Yep. I love my pendulum. Yep.
Top favorite, number one.
Yes, absolute number one. Next up is the crystal ball. So these are commonly associated with movies and psychics and, you know, Hollywood in films. And it's the, you know, the gypsy with the turban on and she's looking in the crystal ball and like, you know, oh, my pretty, whatever, you know, like I think there was one in The Wizard of Oz at the carnival or whatever. But, you know, you don't have to be a fortune teller to use a crystal ball. I have never used a crystal ball.
I haven't either, but I know it's in my future.
Yeah.
I think it's a form of scrying, mm-hmm. I think.
It is.
And which scares me right now. I'm just mm-hmm. not that advanced yet. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like a crystal ball is in my future. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing it in my future.
Yeah, in your crystal ball.
So, yeah, I'm attracted to them because mm-hmm. There's so many different kinds. I'm drawn to them. Mm-hmm. But I
They're
know
beautiful.
I just know that my my skills are just not there yet.
Yeah.
So,
and it's just not the time to.
At this point, I think I would be dangerous with a crystal ball.
Right. And I was going to say, right now is just not the time for you to engage with that and learn about it. Dedicate the time. Like, you have other things you're focused on.
The time will come.
Yeah. It'll definitely come.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think they're really cool. They're beautiful. I don't recall a time when I have seen someone use one. But
I've never seen, other than, you know, the gypsy
the Hollywood
movie
productions. Yeah. Yeah. But I know we've talked about it in our class before, our classes with our teacher. Mm-hmm. And it is very intriguing. Very intriguing. So, you know, like we said, you don't have to be a gypsy or a fortune teller to use a crystal ball. You can use it just like other divination tools to reveal answers to questions you have, or to show images or information about your future. So, you know, if you want to read a crystal ball, same kind of thing with the pendulum. You want to concentrate. You want to clear your mind. Don't be distracted. You know, be in a nice, safe environment and concentrate on your question and then stare deeply into the ball, which is, these are the basic, this is the basic usage guide, if you will. So these are things like even Marie and I would need to dive deeper into really learning about this, because always, always, always be safe. Know what you're doing. Don't just play around with stuff.
Yeah, I would seek out somebody
that knows.
Right, somebody that knows.
Yeah.
And learn from them.
Yes.
Yeah, seek their guidance. Stay safe. Don't do something stupid.
And you want to work with someone that is has responsibility at like the very tippy top of their list. Like, be responsible, be safe, be respectful. Those are always way at the top of my list, because you do not want to F around with this stuff. This is not,
no.
It's not for playing. There, it's one thing to try something and it not vibe with you, but it's another to just be like, oh yeah, I kind of dabble in XYZ. If you're dabbling in this, you're playing with it, and you're setting yourself up for something real creepy.
Be like Yoda. Do or do not.
Yes. Don't be like me at 15 and do stupid stuff. So if you have trouble, so this is one of those tools where you may need to really rely on your intuition to interpret the information you're getting. It could be shapes, images, you know, whatever it is. So you might really have to heavily rely on interpretation, your own intuition. So if you're having trouble getting those answers, you know, again, go back to the environment. Make sure you're in a quiet, peaceful, safe environment. You might even benefit from meditating beforehand. And, you know, which during your meditation, you might get the answers you're seeking anyway. But, you know, we haven't gotten into crystals very much. We've talked about them here and there, but when we get crystals, or I'll speak for myself, when I get a new crystal, I sit with it. I often will meditate with it. Like, I'll just, you know, and sometimes I go through phases where I meditate with the same crystal, but I like to get to know my crystals and, you know, where they're from. And they're not every one of them is chatty, because they all have their own thing, but I like to get to know them. And maybe that's something you need to do with your crystal ball. Is spend some time with it, just like with a pendulum, just like with a deck of tarot cards or whatever it is. You know, get to know it, become familiar, become comfortable, and maybe that will help you to break through some of the trouble you're having getting your answers.
Yeah, so if there's anybody out there who has become comfortable with their crystal ball, I want to hear from them. I want to hear their story, mm-hmm. who they went to learn, so on and so forth.
Because mm-hmm. that is just good, clean fun.
Oh, it's fascinating to mm-hmm. me.
So next up, we have angel cards. So these cards are derived from the ancient tradition of oracle cards. So an angel card allows the angel guides of our lives to lead us in the right direction. And this is another way for you to communicate with your angel guides.
So these are different from tarot cards?
They are different from tarot cards. So people most typically will look at these cards in order to learn about their future, romances, finances, career choices, whatever it is, just like tarot, except you are going directly to to like your guides, your angel guides, instead of going to the cards that are giving you. I'm not explaining this very well. So I think the difference in my, the way I understand it and in my mind, tarot cards draw on the metaphysical versus the angelic.
Okay. That makes sense.
Does that make, okay.
Good. Yeah. Yep. Got it.
Okay. Good. So yeah, that's why you do want to be careful to not confuse them, because they do the, they do two different things where information comes from two different ways. So if you have an angel card deck and you want to use them, always, and I would say this with any divination tool, you want to clear them. And you can do that with smoke, which is sage. You can do that putting them out in the sun. You can do that with Reiki symbols over your deck of cards. You can, I've heard one teacher say you can knock on them. It's like, you know, rattling the dust off, if you will, raising the vibration. You can use sound, mm-hmm. so chimes, bells, and ring those right over the deck of cards, and to shake that stuff loose and get them all nice and crispy clean. So you always want to start with clean tools.
Yeah, and that's true for all your tools.
Yeah.
Start off, and they need to be cleaned after some use.
Yeah.
You know, just like any tool you use, mm-hmm. you know, like a shovel, you know, you got to clean it off after you use it every so often.
Exactly.
You know, just clean your tools after some use to, mm-hmm. to get the use out of them. You know, even when we were talking about pendulums, sometimes they start giving crazy readings.
Right.
It's like, okay, you know, stop. Clear
exactly,
and let's try again, and yeah, then
that's a lot of energy,
and then it's back to being accurate again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of energy that you're wading through when you're trying to get answers and you're working with these tools. So you do want to clean them from time to time, especially if you are using them to give readings to other people. You always want to clear and protect your tools when you're done using them. Because you don't want that energy lingering.
Ugh. Yeah, you don't even want to bring that into your house.
Hells no.
Yeah, just if you're out and about using your tools, when you pull up to the house, try to clear them out before you even bring them inside. Just yeah. Clear them out.
I've never used one of my decks to read someone else, like in person. I've done remote readings, but even then, as soon as I was done, I cleared and protected them all over again. And when I go into something like that, when I'm going to use the deck, even for myself, I start by clearing them. I start with a little prayer in my head, because what I'm seeking is the best of the best. Like, I do not want there to be any confusion out there in the astral worlds. And like, I don't need extra beings coming and popping up to give information. I'm like, no, I want the lightest beings, the highest beings, the most loving beings, because that's the information I'm after. So something to keep in mind. Make sure you're very specific. We've said that.
Yeah. Do you have a set of angel cards?
I do. I have a set of angel cards. I have a tarot deck. It's not the traditional, what is it, the Waite Rider mm-hmm. deck. But I do have an angel deck and a tarot deck. So when you want to use them, like we said, start off by clearing them, protecting them. Say a prayer to protect yourself, whatever you typically do to protect your space and yourself. And you can start off, if you're an absolute beginner, you don't have to do a grid, if you will, like a, what's that called, Marie? It's the way you lay out the cards.
A spread?
A spread, thank you. Not a grid, a spread. So you don't have to do that. You can start off by one card and you shuffle your deck and you split it however you're going to split it, and you draw one card from wherever it is and spend some time with that card. Focus on it. What does it say to you? If it's a traditional deck and you're looking at the death card, whatever it is, it's like the skeleton or something, mm-hmm. or it looks like the Grim Reaper.
Right.
Whatever it is. Does that necessarily mean that it's something negative? No, it doesn't.
It's the death of something that needs to leave your life so that you can bring something good into your life.
Right.
It is the death of a phase of a,
right.
It could be the death of a bad phase of your life, so
right.
that you know, a wonderful part can start.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe nothing death related at all. It could be. So spend some time with it is the point, and figure out what that means to you. So here's where your intuition comes in. And this is where you need to be comfortable with the symbolism. And fortunately, the companies that create these decks nowadays, they give you the meanings behind these cards.
Right. They give you a guide.
Right. So the colors mean something, numbers, everything has a special meaning. And from there, you can build upon it. It is a starting point.
Right. So mm-hmm. like if you're using tarot cards, and you've done a spread for whatever, look at the colors,
mm-hmm.
Look at the numbers.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you?
Right. You know what, you know, because they're made up of major and minor arcanas, mm-hmm. you know, did a lot of majors come up? You
right.
know, did one of, you know, one suit come up? You know, did you get a lot of cups?
Right.
Did
so that's specific to tarot though, right. not to angel cards.
Right. Right. I'm getting into tarot. Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, they kind of go hand in hand. But yeah, Marie's absolutely right. They all have pictures on them. If there is a picture of, like, you know, a bumblebee floating on a lily pad, what does that mean to you? What color is the lily pad? And what does the water look like? Is the water calm in the picture? Is the water you know, what's it called? Does it have a lot of
turbulent?
Yeah.
Waves?
Does it have a lot of waves and wake in it? Does it, you know, so it's all of those things that you want to pay attention to. So, you know, it takes time. It takes time to get comfortable with it and to read them and to, it really takes time, especially when you are trying to do it for someone else. So make sure you're comfortable doing a spread and a reading for yourself.
Yes.
Before yes. you jump into trying to do it for someone else, especially if you're trying to do it as like a side gig, like a business or something. Do not run around giving crazy information to people.
No, someone's going to get hurt doing
yes.
that.
Yes. So don't do that. But I will say, you know, since we're talking about the decks of cards and the tarot and stuff, I, for the longest time, was deathly afraid of tarot cards. Like, I did not want anything to do with them, because around the same time that we were, you know, effing around with the Ouija board, one of my aunts was, what's it called? She was meddling, or what was the word I used earlier?
Experimenting?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, she was toying around with tarot cards. And I'm going to say this. She, and I do mean like she was playing with them. Like, she had never used them before. That was a huge no-no in my grandmother's house. Like, we were not getting down with, you know, tarot cards and stuff. So she started playing around with this deck of cards, and she got a book to tell her what, you know, the cards mean and if they're upside down and if it's, you know, with this one and whatever. And I will tell you guys that her information, the information she was getting and relaying, was spot effing on.
Oh, wow.
Spot on. I mean, it was insanity. And because she did not know how to protect herself or how to protect her space or protect any of us that she was giving readings to, damn it, a lot of creepy stuff was going on. So there was a lot at play. And part of it was, you know, using these tools without knowing how to properly use them and how to protect yourself. And also, you know, just don't mess with this crap because you don't know what you're doing. Stop it. Just stop. So, yeah, around the same time that, you know, my friend and I were messing around with the Ouija board, she was messing around with the tarot cards, and great day.
Well, you just opened the gates there, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Every portal. We just opened it right up. Yeah. So, I mean, but her information, it was insane. Like, I mean, I remember her telling my mom that she was going to get a check from this specific place. And my mom's like, there's no way in hell that's. And that afternoon, we come home, we check the mail, and there is this big ass check waiting for her from this very specific company. And like, she almost dropped everything because what the hell?
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's crazy. So it was, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, very cool that it's like, oh, you're going to whatever, but not to be messed with. You want to be very careful. Know what you're doing. So there are some great teachers out there that will spend the time with you, that offer classes so that you can learn how to properly use this stuff. Psychic Teachers, another podcast.
Yes.
Deb Bowen. She has classes that she teaches, and they are remote classes. So you conference call in, you know, once a week or once every other week, whatever the schedule is that she puts together. And Marie and I did a crystal class of hers together, and it was such a cool class. And you have since done.
Yes, I've done 2 tarot classes mm-hmm. with her.
And she's a great teacher.
Oh, she's so gentle and mm-hmm. patient and kind.
She's a really great teacher.
She's just got this very gentle mm-hmm. energy about her.
Yeah, she really does.
Yeah, she's great. So if you can check her out, I'd definitely mm-hmm. do it.
And I think her site, her website is debbowen.com.
I believe so, yeah.
I think is what it is. So she does have courses on there. You guys check them out, because she is a phenomenal teacher. And she spends the time, and she is super patient, and all the things... all the wonderful things Marie said about her are incredibly true. So that is all we have on tarot.
I got to tell you a quick tarot story, because I'm not giving readings for other people yet, just mm-hmm. myself. So the weekend before last, we had a Reiki share.
Mm-hmm. I know, she just stuck her tongue out at
I
me.
I did stick my tongue out at Chantel because she missed it.
I missed it. And I was so looking forward to that share. What, you have no idea.
You know what we did?
What?
We incorporated tarot into Reiki.
Oh, she said that was coming.
It was so cool. It was so cool. So I hadn't used my tarot cards on anybody. Mm-hmm. And Lily has been, she's been on to me about, she wants me to give her a reading. Mm-hmm. I guess she's had some readings in the past, and I mean, a long time ago, and they turned out, you know, X number of years, very accurate. And I'm like, well, I'm not ready. Well, Lily is obsessed with the moon.
Oh, God,
the moon,
yeah.
And all the cycles.
Super obsessed.
So anyways, we're at the Reiki share. I'm shuffling my cards. And I turn around, look at her, and I spread them out, and I hand them to her. I'm like, pick one. Just pick one. And there's, what, 70-something cards mm-hmm. in there, over 70 cards in there? And it's been well shuffled. Guess what card she pulled?
Hmm.
The moon.
Get out.
We laughed so hard.
It's, oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah. Of all the cards, I mean, yeah, she picked the moon. And, oh, yeah, we cracked up.
If the moon could have a human love interest, it would be Lily.
Oh, yeah. So it was cool in that was my first interaction with another person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so spot on. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, maybe I am ready to start giving readings to other people.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
It's scary.
It is
scary. You want, and it's like it's the thing I say about doing relaying information from people's loved ones and their angels and guides and whomever. You know what someone wants, what they want, something specific to them. They don't tell you what it is, but they want something very specific. They want a very specific, clear message, and you want to get that right for them. So it does put a lot of pressure on you, or at least for me, I feel pressure to really deliver something when in my heart, I know all I can deliver is what they're giving me.
Exactly.
No more, no less. Like there's, I don't know. I mean, I'm positive I've done a face-to-face reading, but it's been for someone I know. But most of the ones I have done, I would easily say like 95% of the readings I've done have been, somebody has reached out over email. Somebody has sent me a DM. Somebody has like called me, sent me a text and said, hey, can you do this for my friend? Can you? So a lot of them have been for people I have never talked to, never met, never anything. And those are the best ones because I'm like, I am not biased in any way. Like, I know I'm not putting any of myself into this, and I still have some doubts. So it is scary to go in and give someone information because you are playing with people's lives.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get it right.
Yeah, you do want to get it right. So you get it. I mean, you know, and I'm actually really excited that you're considering it, even if you don't do it for another year or 10 years. Like, just
yeah, I need to knock the dust off, basically.
Yeah.
That weekend kind of gave me some confidence. I wasn't looking for it. I was just doing it to play around with Lily, and that happened. It's like, that was friggin' amazing. Okay, so this is what I want to do with the tarot cards, because with what happened a couple weekends ago with Lily and her drawing the moon card, and just kind of gave me some confidence. What I'd like to do, and Chantel will keep me honest, is kind of do a tarot challenge for myself, to do a tarot reading, one a day for an entire month.
Nice.
For our listeners. I don't know what month that will be yet. I will let you know. Mm-hmm. 'Cause right now is just a crazy time at work, and I've got to be able to pick a month that I know I can honor it. I don't want to pick a month and then knowing full well that my days are just overwhelmed. And,
agreed.
And I just want to be able to pick a month that, okay, I'm ready. My schedule's going to allow this. Let's do it. So stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see where that takes us.
I know. I can't wait.
But it will be between now and the end of the year.
That'll be exciting.
How about that?
Yeah, that's exciting. So, I mean, that gives us plenty of time, because it's just, you know, it's still in the first half of the year right now.
Yes.
So we're good. But I feel like you do. So I feel like, because I haven't done regular readings for a long time, and long time, I'll say since Houston round one, because I just, you know, came back so tired, feeling like I really needed to focus on healing and stuff.
You do things randomly, though. I mean, you do things off the cuff.
No, I do. But I mean, like, to do an intentional reading.
Okay.
I haven't done that. And I think, you know, because it's been a while, like, I also feel like I'm lacking some confidence, and I'm worried that, you know, some of the old concerns I used to have, some of the old things that used to block, you know, I just get in my own way. So I feel like you. So I slowly want to start getting back in and doing some readings. So I do want to do some readings for our friends that listen to the show, because people have asked for a while, and I just haven't felt like I've been in the right.
Yeah. And I gotta lay down the ground rules. I gotta sit and think about that, you know, like, no medical advice, no legal advice, any of that stuff. Yeah. But I need to sit down and think about those things, and put it on paper. And
And I've heard it posed where, you know, other people have done, you know, have offered up readings and said, you can email me, you know.
Right. I need to figure out the details.
Yeah, up to two or three questions and whatever. And so, yeah, you guys, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited for that. And I eventually want to do the same thing where, you know, I start offering readings for some of our friends that listen to the show, because, you know, I like that. I love giving people that information from their loved ones or their guides or whomever it is. And it just, you know, it can really be life changing.
Right. And, you know, it's supposed to be an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people charge for this and whatnot. But the benefit I get is the practice.
Yeah.
So that's in my eyes, payment.
For sure.
Is practice and gaining confidence.
For sure.
And, you know, okay, all right, this part went wrong, and that's my lessons learned.
Mm-hmm.
And until you actually start practicing it and exercising that muscle, then you're not going to get good at it.
That's true.
And I need to push myself to get good at it, because I want to.
Yeah, me too.
I want to.
Well, I mean, I feel kind of the same. And then the other side of that is, you know, like I said, and like we both know, we're not coming up with the information ourselves. It's information that we're getting. And with the cards, the tarot cards, the angel cards, it is easier, I would say, because you have a good guide system. They come with booklets. You can look up stuff online. You can buy books. You know, if you get really familiar, you come to understand them and know them just looking at them. And then when they're paired together, you can tell the story, because that's what it is. It's a story that you're telling.
Right. Right. And that's like with the pendulum, you'll get yes, no.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get, you know, little 1-2 word answers, whatever graph, you know, you made for yourself. It's a limited communication.
Mm-hmm.
with tarot or angel cards or even the crystal balls, I would imagine, mm-hmm. it's a story. Mm-hmm. It's not a one word, two word
right.
answer.
It is a story.
It's an entire story. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, just like doing a reading.
Exactly.
Yeah. So exciting.
Yeah.
So we have spent a lot of time on this. Let's move on because we have so many tools.
Right.
I mean, I could talk about this like forever and ever because it's just good, clean fun. The dowsing rods. So dowsing uses divining rods in order to locate things like water and minerals beneath the ground, or that was its original intention. So it's a slightly different form of divination. So it's used to gain hidden knowledge through the supernatural rather than used to learn of the future. So you're not asking questions of the future. So typically this is what people are using dowsing rods for. It's to find something, and as things progressed, it was to find other beings. Nowadays, that is what it's used for. It is more used in the supernatural. So the rods, you typically have two rods and they're kind of like L-shaped, where it's almost like an Allen wrench, if you guys know what that is. And it's like a L-shaped.
It's
yeah.
L-shaped.
It's like an L-shape.
Yeah, you put your hands on the short end yeah. of the L, and then the long part of the L is pointing outwards.
It's pointing out, yeah. And so you hold on to those, and the rods will cross to make an X pattern, like the letter X. If you walk past something, an area where you're looking for a specific item, then when it crosses into an X, you have found the spot or the general location. Or if you're using it in a supernatural way, then if there is a spirit in your vicinity, in your area, then it will cross, the two rods will cross to form the X. So you can ask the spirit questions at that point, noticing the movement of the rods to analyze the answers. So like Marie said, to do the dowsing, you hold those two ends and you'll notice that the rods move independently of each other. And then when the time comes and it's time to show you some magic, they cross into an X.
Yeah, and there's also the Y dowsing rods. A lot of the old timers you see, mm-hmm. you know, they have a stick that's shaped like a Y. Mm-hmm. And they hold the Y and with the third end, mm-hmm. just pointing out to guide them to whatever it is they're looking for.
Yeah. So next up we have the infamous Ouija board.
I know. I'm very surprised that you're bringing that, calling it a tool and bringing that in here.
Well,
I mean, it is a tool.
It is not my tool. Given
your experience with the Ouija boards.
Yeah, no, it is not a tool that I would ever recommend. It is not, that's just based on my own experience. However, there are many people that use the Ouija board for divination, and they have never had an issue. They are responsible. They are safe. They know what they're doing. They're not 15 and playing around, basically. So it is another form of divination tool made especially famous through the entertainment industry. There are so many movies that include a Ouija board, and oh, it's so scary. And you know what? It effing is. This thing is creepy. I will not walk past one. I will not touch it. I will not look at it.
But it is a tool nonetheless.
Yes, it is. So they are designed with the letters of the alphabet, the numbers 0 through 9, and then the options of yes and no, as well as goodbye. So you can sign off and be on your merry little way with a ghost attached to your back. Just kidding. So,
no, you're not.
No, I'm not kidding. So to properly use it, you want to protect your space. Protect, protect, protect. Protect yourself. Know what you're doing. So with the board out, you, the seeker of answers, would place your fingertips on the planchette, which is the little triangular piece that has a clear circle in the middle. It's like a clear little window. And that window will, the planchette moves around the board with the understanding that spirit, if you will, is moving the planchette. And the planchette will move over letters of the alphabet. It will move over the yes or no. It will move over them, the numbers and the goodbye. So the spirit will slide the planchette to the appropriate answer it wants to give. And there's really nothing to interpret from that. It is black and white.
Yeah, you get what you get.
Yeah. So if you are not experienced, do not use this. Like, you need to practice extreme caution with a Ouija board. And I think anyone that uses divination tools, anyone that knows anything about the metaphysical world, about the spirit world, about anything, will tell you to please be incredibly careful and move cautiously and know what you're doing. If you do not know what you're doing, please seek the assistance of someone that does know what they're doing, not just someone that dabbles. That's the word I was looking for earlier. Not experiments, dabbles. Yeah. So you don't want someone that just plays around with this. You want someone that knows what they're doing. So if there is someone, I'm positive there are people out there that teach how to properly use a Ouija board and all the wonderful ya-ya benefits. I am not one of them. I will never be one of them. And I can say that definitively. And if I had my pendulum with me right now, she would also agree. So Ouija board, it is a tool. It is not one of my tools. I will never recommend it, but there you go. It's on the list. So I am not being biased. Another one that I haven't used, but I think I would like to, are runes. Have you seen runes, Marie?
I've seen them. I've not used them.
Yeah, I have not either. So runes are little stones. It could be tile, wood, actual stone, whatever. And they have symbols etched on them, or, you know, drawn on them, or whatever the case. And originally they were used across Scandinavia as a means of communication, which all of these tools are used for. And now they are primarily used for divination purposes. So you can carve your own if you would like, but many places sell them. And so simply you put all the runes together. They come with a little pouch and you put them in there and you ask a question and you pour them out onto a flat surface. And the runes that are facing, the runes that are face up with the symbols, those are the ones that you will use to interpret the information. So this is kind of like the angel cards and the tarot cards, where they tell a story. So you would, you know, put that together and determine what the message is, what the answer is. So you could use a key, a guide, just like the tarot decks have and the angel card deck has. There's a lot of information out there on the symbols that are on these runes. So you don't have to, go into meditation to try to decipher what the symbols mean. There's a lot of information out there. But again, this tells a story. This isn't as cut and dry as like a pendulum where it's a yes or no. It can be, but that's not what they're meant for.
So again, a story.
Right. So, you know, another thing you can do, which I've heard of people doing, is you can use crystals. So it doesn't have to be anything with a symbol on it. You can do like choose three crystals and say one is past, one is present, one is future. Just kind of like when you're doing a tarot spread, mm-hmm. where they tend to have those elements. And you can do that with three crystals with crystals, and you pour them out. And these are, you know, it's a lot to explain right now, but this is another thing you can do with crystals. They don't have to have the symbols like the runes do.
That's interesting. I mean, I'm very private with my crystals. Mm-hmm. I get a little standoffish if somebody tries to touch any of my crystals. Mm-hmm. So using a crystal in that way is interesting.
Well, you can use it for yourself. And what I mean by this is, you have your crystals. Let's say you have them in a pouch or whatever, and you ask a question. And if you're going to do kind of like a tarot spread where it's like past, present, future, you reach in and without looking, you pick a stone. And that crystal that you pick is, you know, let's say it's the angelite crystal. Well, you then have to determine what that crystal means in regard to the question that you just asked. How does that crystal work with the response that you're supposed to be receiving? So angelite is a good crystal for working with your angels and developing that relationship. So how does that translate into the information that you're seeking, the answer that you're seeking? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, interesting.
So it's another way to go. It doesn't have to be the runes. So scrying, There are scrying mirrors. There are scrying bowls. There's fire and smoke scrying. There is French fry scrying. I mean, scrying all around. So you have tried scrying, right?
I have tried scrying. I didn't have any luck at it.
So this is, did you say that this one kind of creeped you out? Or am I thinking of something else?
Well, in a meditation, I received, you know, give this a shot. Mm-hmm. And I did, and nothing really came from it other than an eerie feeling. So I stopped.
Yeah.
And even our teacher said, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't. It's, we're not there yet.
Understood. So here's what scrying is. It is an ancient form of divination, and it is done by using reflective surfaces like mirrors, water, to see visions. So kind of like a crystal ball, except without the solid hard surface of the hard form of the crystal ball. This right. is something reflect, which, you know, a mirror is a hard surface, but you guys know what I mean. You're using right. a reflection is what you're using. So, in mirror scrying, they are, you know, this is one of the more common versions of scrying. And like we said, it could also be done with a bowl of water, crystals, a reflective bowl. So the crystal being like the crystal ball. And when you concentrate hard enough, scrying can be done on any mirror, but it does take a lot of practice because it's an old practice. And, you know, it still does remain pretty popular to this day and one of the most accessible. So if you can just walk up to any mirror and start scrying, start trying to see some vision. Oh, dear God,
please protect yourself, because it's so, so dangerous. So many things come out of those, mirrors. It's just know what the hell you're doing.
Yes, agreed. And that, again, I know we keep saying this, you guys, but we feel very strongly about this. You have got to be safe. Don't just toy around. Please, please, please. So, yeah, I've said before that I have been in meditation, or I've been in my in the podcast studio, and there I have mirrors in there, and I have seen beings come out of the mirror, and I'm like, no, sir, back you go, chop chop, with a quickness. So, no, mirrors are a little on the creepy side for me, just in general. Not even trying to scry. I do not want to scry. I have zero desire. It's up there it's up there with the Ouija board for me. So. So it takes a lot of practice, because this is not like the pendulum where you get the yes or no. This is based on your interpretation. You're using your intuition. So you really got to put your focus and energy into it. And it does take a lot of time and practice. So if you want to try scrying, just be patient with yourself, be patient with the process, and try to find someone very responsible and legitimate to work with, so they can show you what to do properly.
Yeah, that's not something to play with.
No, not at all. So another form of another divination tool is automatic writing. So this one, so the way this works is a person channels from the spirit realm and allows spirit to use your body to write a message or draw a symbol to be interpreted later. Now, I also understand automatic writing to be you receiving the information and writing it almost like you're in a trance type of state.
Yeah, that's the way I understand it. I've heard of multiple people doing it.
Right.
And they get into this meditative state, mm-hmm. and then they just start writing.
Right.
And they don't know what they're writing. Mm-hmm. It's like spirit is talking to them.
Right. Talking through. Yes. Writing through.
Yes. I've heard, I've read books by Sylvia Brown, mm-hmm. where she talks about her automatic writing experiences. Mm-hmm. And I've even heard, you know, our teacher, you know, some, and her automatic writing experiences, mm-hmm. it's just letting spirit talk through you, and basically when you come out of your meditation, you go back and you read what you read.
Exactly.
And it's some pretty powerful stuff. I have not tried it. I wouldn't even know where to begin to even try. When I get into a meditative state, I'm not moving, much less sitting there with pen and paper and writing away. So that is something that I would have to be taught, but it's fascinating. I'd like to learn that one day.
I don't think you actually, I've tried it in a meditative state, and the first time I did it, I wanted to communicate with a guide. Like, it was the first time I was meeting a guide, and I wanted to record the information so I wouldn't forget it. So that's how I did it. Is it was a form of automatic writing, because I was very much in the meditative state, but I wasn't so deep that I was unaware of what was going on. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Where people that do automatic writing are like, yeah, I was in a trance, so to speak, and then later read it and was like, oh wow, that's interesting. Like, that doesn't sound like me at all, or whatever the case. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. So you were in a meditative state, but not too deep to where you couldn't like turn the page and.
Right. So, I mean, looking at the paper, you can see that my eyes were not open. They were very much closed, and I was just writing by feel. You know what I mean? Like, I was just gauging my location on the paper in relation, like where my answers were in relation to where the question was.
Mm-hmm. So what made you know to return to the next line? As opposed to writing, and now you're writing on your table.
Well, because it was like a notebook, you know what I mean? So it was just, the questions and answers weren't so in depth that I would need a ton of space to, mm-hmm. you know, but just enough so that I could quickly write out my question or the gist of the question and then write the response.
Okay.
And it was just move to another spot. That's all it was. So it was automatic in a sense where I knew what my purpose was, like mm-hmm. what I was trying to achieve. But it was very cool to come out of that meditation and look at the pages. And I don't remember how many pages, but it was very cool to look at the pages and read the questions and the responses. And that is when I met the guide that I talked about a few episodes ago, that I think it's when we were talking about the guardian angels.
Okay.
And we were talking about the names and how it's not necessary to know their names. And I said, yeah, I remember when I met my first guide, he told me his name, and I said, what kind of name is that? And he said, it's a name you would believe. And that is when I met that guide, was when I did that automatic writing.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So I still have that. So I know people go a lot deeper. Like, I think our teacher has done it mm-hmm. to put some of her curriculum together. And some people do go into a deep meditative state where they are completely unaware, and they will be like on their laptop, let's say, and they just type away, and then come out of it and go, holy crap, that sounds nothing like me, but this information is incredibly cool.
So you can automatic write electronically?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I've read about that. Yeah.
Interesting. I'm old school. I would have to be pen and paper.
Which you can do.
Yeah.
You can do that. And I mean, looking at the pages, there was plenty of space to, you know, keep writing on the same pages, but I didn't. It was just, you know, write a little turn.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Automatic writing. Check it out, guys. So the thing with automatic writing that has kept me from pursuing it anymore is it makes me nervous to think that I'm sharing my space with spirit. And I mean, like, my body space.
Right. Because they are coming through you to communicate those words on paper.
Exactly. So that's where I get nervous, because as you'll recall from my pendulum story, where I was convinced that someone was moving my pendulum and not it being moved by my energy.
Look how far you've come.
I know, but still not far enough to where I want to try a deeper version of automatic writing. So the next one up is teacups and tea leaves. So divination teacups are not just any old teacup that you can go get at the local Walmart, guys. So these are special cups with a divine pattern drawn on them, reflecting different themes and answers. So in order to use the teacups, you basically pour yourself a cup of freshly brewed loose leaf tea. And at the bottom of the cup, once you're finished, there are going to be the remnants left of the tea leaves that you had brewed. And so what you do is you observe the pattern and the images that are created by the tea leaves. So the pattern itself and your interpretation of it will guide you to any answers you might be seeking. So while they're not explicit like the pendulum, yes or no, they will show you, reveal to you some of the or the information that you were after. So again, this is one where you have to trust your intuition. It's based on your interpretation. But yeah, people do this all the time. I've never tried it. I've never seen someone do it, but it sounds incredibly cool.
Yeah, and you can use coffee grounds mm-hmm. or my favorite, wine sediment.
Oh, fancy. I mean,
yeah, so there's a variety.
That's really cool. I didn't know about the wine.
So, makes me want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You want it some does. Wine?
I might want some wine.
So all in the name of learning.
Yeah,
of course.
All in the name of learning, of course. Yeah. So, my question to my wine glass would be, am I going to finish you? And I can tell you right now, the answer will be yes. So the next one is aura readings, and this is the last one that I have. So we've talked about the aura before, and I think we talked about that in season one, and we touched on not really reading the aura so much, but seeing it, understanding it, becoming comfortable with it. So some people do this where they read people's auras, and what that means is you can, based on the appearance of the aura, the color, the state of it, you can tell what someone's health is like, what their mental state is like, what their level of stress is like, what they're going through, what they have attached to them. And I don't necessarily mean there is a spirit attached. It could be an event, a happy event, a traumatic event, whatever the case. So you can see a lot, tell a lot about a person based on their aura because it is part of their person. So it's cool. Some people do this. They read auras. I do not.
I have a hard time. I've tried, and mm-hmm. it's a 50-50 whether I get to see it or not.
Yeah. Well, I see it, and usually when I see it, I am not trying, and it just bloop, there it is. And it's just exciting because I'm like, ooh, it's, you know, it's typically very beautiful and bright, and, you know, so I know that the current state of that person is, you know, happy or whatever the case. So it's very cool. Very cool. So these are, do you have any more tools that you want to talk about?
Yeah. So there's a new one that I learned about called I Ching.
Yes.
Did you see that one?
I did.
So that one is one of the tools from ancient China.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was neat is that it goes back to 2700 BC. I mean, dang. That is, we talk
before
about
the
ancient.
Baby Jesus.
right? So back in the day, they used yarrow sticks, but today they use coins. And you can even use like your everyday coins, like pennies or dimes or whatever, because the coins don't have any monetary value. It's just one side of the coin or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a yin and yang value.
Mm-hmm.
So you toss three coins for a total of six turns, and then you get a sum that reveals your hexagram number. And then there's the I Ching guidebook, which will tell you what that hexagram number means and what the future holds for you.
Nice.
So that one kind of, I was drawn to that one a little bit because the Thai side of my family has a strong mm-hmm. Chinese background. So I was like, oh, maybe that's something
really cool.
That's something I should look into.
Yeah.
Another tool to learn about. So we'll see.
I like that one. So that one sounds like it's a little more yes and no, right? Because it's like one side of the coin or the other.
Well, but you toss them multiple times and then you add up the numbers. I equated it to like numerology.
Got it.
You know, every number represents something.
I got it.
Yeah. So
that's really cool. We should check that out.
Yeah, I think I will.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what I'm going to put on my Christmas list.
Coins.
I Ching coins.
I like that. So you guys know what our favorite tools are. You guys know how we feel about, you know, because we said it all episode long. be safe. So for beginners, Marie, what would be like your, I'd say like top two or three tools for like a beginner?
Number one, absolutely the pendulum, hands down,
mm-hmm.
hands down. I think it introduces you to the world of crystals. And even then, a pendulum doesn't have to be a crystal. It's mm-hmm. just how I started out, mm-hmm. and it started my crystal addiction.
Yeah,
and good or bad, but definitely the pendulums. But I would stick to the ones that resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and agreed. You know, numerology is an easy one mm-hmm. to learn. I mean, that one is all over the place, and that one's been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get into it a lot here, but I mean, numerology can be its own episode.
Yeah.
And that's a popular one.
Mm-hmm.
But those would be my top two for beginners.
Yeah. So I think for me, I would definitely say my number one is also the pendulum. I think it's a great place to start with the yes and the no. When you can just develop that yes, no relationship with your crystal or whatever it is that you choose to use as the pendulum, develop that, learn to trust yourself, get to know yourself, and then move on to something that requires more intuition, more of your ability to decipher and put a message together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because once you get the hang of the pendulum and mm-hmm. and you're ready to move on beyond yes no questions,
right?
You can make graphs,
right?
You can make, you know, little quadrants mm-hmm. and you can figure things out, or like I said, use a map, you know, where should I go on vacation mm-hmm. next? You know, I've used my pendulum for the silliest of things.
Me too.
You know, just the silliest of things. And it's always turned out right.
Yeah. Me
you
too.
Know, in anywhere from, you know, I want to, you know, wear a crystal that day, which crystal should I wear?
Right.
You know, I've got multiple, little storage bins of crystals, and I'll take my pendulum out and say, you know, which one should I use, and mm-hmm. and let it pick. And some of the times it's like, what are you talking about? This is the craziest stone. I don't have anything to do that day. But at the end of the day, mm-hmm. when I look at it, it's like, oh my God, you are absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You were absolutely right.
Yeah, I needed
this today. You know, I thought I was going to sit down and do reports all the day long. Why do I need this crystal that, you know, for speaking and, mm-hmm. and whatnot? And sure enough, impromptu presentation, you know, got to think on your feet, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And so the pendulum has proved its trustworthiness time and time again.
Oh, I
time
agree.
And time again.
I'll even ask my pendulum if it wants to come with me on, like, to run errands, and it'll either say yes or no. And, you know, if it says yes, I'll slide it in my purse or put it in my pocket and off we go. And just like for me to hang with it, like to spend some time with it, because it's the one, it's not the pendulum I had before that I thought I lost. Mm-hmm. It's a new pendulum I bought, and just to connect with it and to, you know,
become friends with
it. For our energy to vibe and to connect, and, you know, all that good stuff. So you know, I used to do that too with my crystals, as I would, you know, take one, not every single day, but, you know, here and there I would take one with me or a few and put them in my pocket, carry them with me through the day. And, you know, I always find them to be super helpful. So, you know, we didn't talk a lot about crystals. We talked very little about them, where you can use them to help you kind of like use tarot cards and the angel cards. But crystals are incredible. So incredible, and you can use them as divination tools. I don't know that I would put them towards the top of the list, because need to be more intuitive. And I don't mean like you need to be psychic or anything like that. I mean that you need to be more comfortable with your intuition and knowing how to read them and how to understand what each one does.
Yeah, because every crystal is unique. Every
right.
crystal has its own properties.
Right. So to put that story together, you got to know what they do.
Right. You got to be really, really good
on
knowing what every type of crystal, what it represents
right.
and what it means.
So eventually, I would definitely put it at the top of my list once you are more practiced
yes.
and intermediate,
yeah,
but not at the beginning.
Not for a beginner, no.
Yeah. So I would say at the beginning for me would definitely be the pendulum, like I said. Next, and maybe even number one, first to the pendulum, which we did not talk about, is meditation. Because meditation, in a roundabout sort of way, can also be used as a divination tool, because you do communicate with your team. You can communicate with your team. You can go into meditation with questions on your mind, on your heart, on your person, and get those answers during that session or another session. Or you can ask for those that information to be revealed to you in dreams, whatever the case. So it is another tool. And I would say I don't even know which one would take first place for me, meditation or the pendulum. The pendulum, because it is so cut and dry, like it is so black and white.
Yeah, I would say the pendulum for that reason.
Yeah, but meditation is really, really up there for me. And if you want to get good with the other stuff and trusting your intuition, meditation is also a great place.
And you know what? Now that you bring that up, yes, start with the pendulum, get comfortable with it, trust it.
Mm-hmm.
Move on to meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can always, and this is what I did, you go back to your pendulum. Mm-hmm. To say, this is the, was this right?
Yeah, get this clarification.
Right, to use the pendulum,
yep,
as a verification tool,
yep,
to your meditation. And that is how I started trusting, mm-hmm, the messages I received in meditation. Because some of the messages I got early on, I mean, they were so whacked out.
Yeah,
I'm like, too. You've got to be kidding me. And so I went back to my pendulum and, mm-hmm, said, was this right? And as whacked out as things get, mm-hmm, over a span of time, I learned that it was spot on.
Yeah, I do it with readings too.
Yeah, so I always, the pendulum has always been a good, mm-hmm, backup verification tool.
Yeah.
So that's why I would put it, yeah, yes, meditation is a good up there, but I would, the path I took was pendulum first, and then, yeah, things came after that, because the pendulum helped me develop my intuition, help me trust my intuition.
Yeah,
that's what it did. Help me trust my intuition.
Mine were together. I did mine together. So I maybe that's why I struggle with which one would come first for me. But, you know, I want to lean towards pendulum because it is very yes and no and helps you to gain some confidence. But I also feel like, you know, meditation, it doesn't hurt anything. It is so great. I love small meditations.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say I have. I don't know. I'm going to go with those two, even though, you know, meditation didn't make our list because it is not solely a divination tool.
Well, because meditation isn't something you can touch.
Right.
You know, we went through the tools that you can put your hands on.
Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely an amazing tool. Definitely. But yeah, this is the tangible tool. So always the pendulum. Always. So, you know, we said it all episode long, guys. I'm going to say it again. Trust your intuition. Always, always, always practice all of this with the utmost safety, the utmost respect for yourself, for the spirit world, for your tools. Make sure you protect yourself, you protect your space, you protect your tools, you cleanse them, and you
bond with your tools.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I have noticed that I've noticed through my journey is my mood has everything to do with the information I get. Now, what I mean by that is if I am in a bad mood, if I'm in an anxious mood, those states of being heavily influence the responses that I get. So because of that, I do not do readings for myself. I do not do readings for others. I do not toy with anything when I am cranky, when I'm tired, when I'm sick, when I am in a bad mood, when I'm anxious. I don't touch it. The only thing I would go to is meditation. That's what I would do. If not meditation, I will sage myself. I will sage the hell out of myself. I will ring some damn bells. I will raise my vibration, but I will not touch a tool. I will not do a reading. If my energy is low, if my vibration is low, I will not do it, because I have seen it time and again. The responses I get are crazy as hell. It is way off in left field and not just like, oh, I got this information and I thought it was crazy at first, but then my pendulum said, yeah, no, that's right. That's not at all what I mean right here. I mean, like, it is some crazy crap. Like, I could easily ask my pendulum if my name is Chantel and it would say no. Like, that is what I mean. Like,
because your energy's off.
Yes. When your energy is off, when you are not feeling it, don't touch any of this stuff. Get yourself in a good, healthy place first.
You have to be grounded. You have to be centered.
Yes. And this is why I go back to the readings and how I do want to get back into it. I want to start doing it on a regular basis again. And I haven't up until now because I needed time to heal, to recover. And this is work related. It's stuff that's gone on in my personal life. Like, I needed the time and the space to do that and to get well and to be grounded and to be good. So please, please, please know yourself. Get to know yourself. Trust yourself. If you are not in a good mood, if you are tired, if you are sick, if you are cranky, if you haven't slept well, just don't do it. Let it go for the day or for the week or the month, whatever it is. Give yourself the time. So yes, a lot of safety. We keep pushing it, but we really, really stand behind it. Our teacher is a great example of that. She does not do anything without ensuring that we are all incredibly protected. And I mean, lead by example for sure. So yeah. So definitely not every tool, you guys. There are so many more tools out there. These are the ones that are most popular. And a lot of the ones that Marie and I have either used, been exposed to, have interest in using, you know, whatever it is. You have anything else you want to say?
Thank you.
Yes.
Just thank you to everybody. Thank you to all our listeners. And if you have a favorite tool, mm-hmm. we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah.
And if you've had any positive, not so positive experiences with these tools, yeah. I'd like to hear those stories as well.
Yeah, whatever the case.
Because we're all learning from each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, Chantel and I, we started this podcast not with the, you know, oh, because we're experts. It was the mm-hmm. premise of, hey, we're learning.
Yeah.
We're going to share as we learn. And, you know, we're all growing together. We're all learning yeah. together.
And definitely came into this with the knowing that we have questions. We know a lot of you guys have questions. So we learn together, like Marie said. So, yeah, it's been this one was a lot of fun. A lot of this stuff. We have touched a lot of the stuff we haven't touched, some of the stuff we haven't seen anyone else touch. So we have a long way to go and I'm excited for it. There is some stuff I know for sure I will never in hell touch like or be near, and that is A-okay. So, you know, do what resonates with you, for you, what's best for you, and, you know, to hell with whatever anybody else thinks. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So that is our episode, you guys, on divination tools. I am so grateful that you guys joined us. So happy that you joined us. You could have been doing anything else, but you decided to hang with us. Hopefully you guys learned some cool stuff that you didn't know before. And if you have anything cool you want to share, make sure you let us know on themediummatters@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. So we will be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We love you guys and hope you have a kick-ass week.